Part 2 How IT Happened The Bankers Opt To Rule The World. There is afoot, a brilliant, albeit treacherous, scheme to control all the people and all the property of all the world. I wish I'd thought of it. I did suspect it at a very young age, but of course had no reason to think I was so intuitive and accurate. Over the past 45 years, my suspicions have been corroborated, evidenced, and in fact played out. One could say that I anticipated it and hence it became my reality, and I shall expound upon this later, yet right now I intend to tell what is going on in order for you to have the option of changing your mind about how you manage your commercial affairs. World domination via confiscation of your dollar is already on tap. England and the Rothschilds control the dollar of every country of the world and therefore its laws. 200 years ago, Governor Cornwallis said, "The US will bring in the New World Order and its seat will be England." It may appear that what goes on is happenstance, but the government most surely has planned it. FDR was giving us a heads up on what is really going on. His head, along with that of every other world leader, was slashes at the end of a gun. They are doing as they are told by the Zionist Illuminati Masonic conspiracy / powers that be, hereinafter PTB. What happened is all documented, and if you investigate you can find a plethora of information along with case law, codes, rules, regulations, statutes, legislation, etc. to support my contentions. So as not to bog you down, I shall quote the sources of only the most significant. Bretton Woods Agreement 1944. This was the birth of the International Monetary Fund, and from there all the foreign agencies CIA, FBI, IRS, BAR control everything via the 14th Amendment citizen, those who contract to become U.S. citizens as opposed to remaining sovereign Americans. The sole creation of these agencies was for the purpose of collecting the debt. The USA is a corporation owned by England, the Crown, the Vatican. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the USA was in order to enslave those who contracted with the state, thereby giving up their natural-born freedoms in exchange for so-called benefits. Every benefit you believe you receive from the state, whether US or Canada, is at a cost, huger than you could ever imagine unless you can keep it all separate as I have done. By contracting with thugs, we hand over jurisdiction to them and no longer have any claim to rights. Fortunately, it is easy to take back our rights by revoking, rescinding, and cancelling anything upon which we have written our name, date of birth, socialist number, SSN/SIN, and signature, which might have been construed by the state/banksters as a contract. Even having our post delivered to our house is considered a government benefit. I used general delivery for a period of 4 months, after which time they intended to charge me. I discharged the charge, yet it didn't work because I had requested this service. This creates a conundrum because I was forced to request it since I didn't want my mail delivered to my house. It is my personal policy not to reveal, to those who would confiscate my rights and my labor, where I sleep at night. All this stopped bothering me when I realized I cannot be sued and no constabulary will dare to come to my house, as I have confirmations of agreements with several Canadian ministers who ensure my rights and hence, my safety. By the way, Elizabeth, of the family of Windsor, who changed the name to sound British instead of the German royalty she is, but let's not go there now, is not the monarchy of Canada. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II is a corporation just like any other fiction. It is unfortunate, not to mention treasonous, that all our politicians have sworn an oath to this foreign entity. Equally absurd is that Elizabeth, in her coronation, swore to uphold the laws of God. What laws might those have been? I'd like to hear her list them. There is none. Politicians' oaths of allegiance to the Queen are fraud and high treason. Back to the gruesome story, all those industrialists, those bankers, whose names you've heard a million times, Rockefellers, Rothschild, Morgan, etc., decided that owing the world would be a fun game since, they probably had done everything else they ever wanted to do and were now bored. They devised a scheme to control the world. Wouldn't we all do this if we had the brains and the means? Well, they had and they did. It was a simple case of bribing US politicians to overthrow their own money-creating system. Congress was the creator of money, and somehow Congress was talked into, read bribed, handing this responsibility over to a private corporation owned and operated by these banksters. Not to make them wrong, I might have 20 done this too if I'd thought of it, but they literally destroyed the United States of America and every country which fell like dominoes thereafter once the corporation called USA was founded. The Illuminati bankers rule the world through debt, which is money they create out of nothing. They need world government to ensure no country defaults or tries to overthrow them. As long as private bankers, instead of governments, create money, the human race is doomed. These bankers and their allies have bought everything and everyone. Henry Mackow, I want either less corruption or more chance to participate in it. Ashley Brilliant, registration versus recording registration comes from Latin rex, regis et cetera, meaning regal. So think about what occurs to whatever you register. You hand legal title over to the crown. When you register anything with the public, it releases legal title to the government corporation and leaves you with only equitable title, the right to use, not own, and for that use you will pay a use tax, which is every tax, be it income, sin, sales, property, etc., as opposed to lawful taxes, excise and impost. So that it doesn't appear that the government now owns the property which you have registered, they put it in a name which so much resembles your own that you won't suspect it. However, the name is owned by the government. If you choose rather to record your legal title to your property with the public, you maintain your status as title owner. This is one of the most important things you can ever learn for the sake of your commercial affairs. The best example of the effects of registration is the birth certificate. A bankrupt entity, city, state/province, country cannot operate in commerce. So how do they manage? Since USA/CA have been bankrupt for decades, having no substance such as gold and silver to back it, the only asset it has are men and women and our labor. We are the collateral for the interest on the loan of the World Bank. Each of us is registered, via the application for a birth certificate. The Treasury issues a bond on the birth certificate, and the bond is sold at a securities exchange and bought by the FRB/BOC, which then uses it as collateral to issue bank notes. The bond is held in trust for the feds at the Depository Trust Corporation. We are the surety on said bonds. Our labor/energy is then payable at some future date. Hence we become the transmitting utility for the transmission of energy. The USG/CAG, in order to provide necessary goods and services, created a commercial bond, promissory note, by pledging the property, labor, life, and body of its citizens, as payment for the debt, bankruptcy. This commercial bond made chattel, property, out of us all. We became nothing more than human resources and collateral for the debt. This was without our knowledge and/or our consent, via the filing, registration, of our birth certificates. When mums apply for a birth certificate, the application is registered. The legal title of her baby is then transferred from mum to the state. Mum is left with equitable title of her baby, whom she can use for a fee, a use tax, and since the property does not belong to her, she has to treat it in the manner which the owner wants. Colonel Edward Mandelhouse is attributed with giving a very detailed outline of the plans to be implemented to enslave the American people. He stated, in a private meeting with Woodrow Wilson, President, 1913-1921, very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property, that's you and your children, in a national system designed to keep track of the people and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattels, property, and we will hold the security interest over them forever, by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificate, to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser, for not one man in a million could ever figure our plans, and, if by accident one or two should figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. After all, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office, presidency, of our dummy corporation, USA, to 21 foment this plot against America. Colonel Edward Mandelhouse, this is why I coach those who intend to marry not to sign anything. Centuries ago, a man put a ring on a woman's finger and declared, "With this ring, I thee wed." Family members were the witnesses, and that was it. There was no state-issued license to sign. Frightful. Children can be taken from their parents because of the marriage license. Do not invite into your private contract a third party which happens to be public, cares not about the interests of the other two parties, and has every legal right to force them to acquiesce to its demands. Your marriage ceases to be your own. The third party will tell you if and when you can end the marriage. The third party will dictate that your children will 1. Require a birth certificate and SSN/SIN 2. Require a GovT-directed, AMA/CMA, doctor to attend to his health. 3. Be vaccinated by mandate. 4. Attend the public fool system. 5. Be prescribed and drugged by Ritalin. 6. Sign up with the armed forces, etc. Your child will be a ward of the state, and the state will have prior say in what it thinks is best for your child. You will not have jurisdiction over him. The birth certificate created a fiction, the name of the baby in uppercase letters. The state/province sells the birth certificate to the Commerce Department of the corporations of USA/CA, which in turn places a bond on the birth certificate, thereby making it a negotiable instrument, and placing the fiction, called a strawman, into the warehouse of the corporations of USA/CA. Representation for the created fiction was given to the Bar, British Accredited Registry/Regency, owned and operated by the Crown, for the purpose of contracting the fiction, which most of us think is ourselves, into a third-party action. Do not underestimate the power behind this trick. It is to con us into contracting with the feds so that they can legally confiscate our property. All these contracts have only our signatures on them because corporate fictions cannot contract. Only natural beings have the right to contract and the right not to contract. Because there is no full disclosure, we are never told that we have just signed away what we believe to be our property. These contracts are fraudulent, and hence, we are still the lawful owner, and the profit earned by the feds from selling securities, our property, belongs to us and must go into a fund for our benefit, otherwise it would be fraud. Not wanting to be charged with fraud, the feds had to create a remedy for us, and hope we wouldn't discover it. For decades, through its public school system, the government has managed to deceive us about some very important facts. All facets of the media, print, radio, television, have an ever-increasing influence in our lives and are controlled by government and its agencies, via the issuance of licenses. We have slowly and systematically been led to believe that any form of our names represents us, which is not so. History of the world: all problems, depressions, wars, disasters, assassinations, all of them were planned, caused, instigated, and implemented by the international banksters and their attempt to establish a central bank in every country in the world, which they have now done, thanks to corrupt politicians who have been bought and paid for. This is all you need to know about the history of the world. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who issued silver certificates, and Abraham Lincoln, who issued treasury notes, greenbacks, were the only men who actively intended to stop them. Both were assassinated by the banksters. Garfield and McKinley talked about stopping them. Both were assassinated by the banksters. The government should create, issue, and circulate all the currency and credits needed to satisfy the spending power of the government and the buying power of consumers. By the adoption of these principles, the taxpayers will be saved immense sums of interest. Money will cease to be master and become the servant of humanity. Abraham Lincoln, the international bankers were relentless in setting up central banks, which the USA resisted for decades because their system was working no debt money. They realized the phenomenal profit to be had by printing their own notes, threatening Congress to accept this private banking system, then lending dollar at extortive interest rates, e.g., the graduated income tax, the second plank of the Communist Manifesto. 22. They demanded that the interest on the money they lent the government was to be paid in gold. Hence, when the government ran out of gold, there is no gold in Fort Knox, it was handed over to the Bank of England for the interest on the loan. It had to find some form of asset to use as collateral for the loans which it claimed to continue to need. But for what? Not much revenue is required for the true federal functions, namely, a navy, international and interstate trade and commerce, and the general welfare of all. The rest is extortion. What could they use if there were no more gold? Ah! The citizens themselves, but, we are a sovereign people. How can we be held as assets for a debt which wasn't real? We can't, at least not lawfully. We can, however, be tricked into believing that we are responsible for the debt by transforming us into accommodation parties to a fictional entity, strawman, created by the government. In a circuitous and scathingly brilliant marketing scheme, we were led to believe that we were who we were not and that we must work to earn funds in order to pay a debt which not only is not one which we ourselves incurred but also is a debt which increases by our very working to pay it. Please stop working for a living. You are probably wondering how in God's name this ever came about. It doesn't really matter, yet, here it is in a nutshell from those who witnessed it. It is not what we learned in the public fool system. Capital must protect itself in every possible way, both by combination and legislation. Debts must be collected, mortgages foreclosed as rapidly as possible. When through the process of law the common people lose their homes, they will become more docile and more easily governed through the strong arm of government applied by a central power of wealth under leading financiers. These truths are well known among our principal men who are now engaged in forming an imperialism to govern the world. By dividing the voter through the political party system, we can get them to expend their energies in fighting for questions of no importance. It is thus by discreet action we can secure for ourselves that which has been so well planned and so successfully accomplished. 1924 U.S. Bankers Association magazine. When Rothschild said, "Let me issue and control a nation's money and I care not who writes its laws," it was the beginning of the modern era's financial, political, social, commercial, and military strife and subversion. PerfectEconomy.com. The financial system has been turned over to the Federal Reserve Board. That board administers a finance system by authority of a purely profiteering group. That system is private, conducted for the sole purpose of obtaining the greatest possible profits from the use of other people's money. This Federal Reserve Act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president signs this bill, the invisible government by the monetary power will be legalized. The people may not know it immediately, but the day of reckoning is only a few years removed, the worst legislative crime of the ages perpetrated by this banking bill. Charles A. Lindbergh, RMN. We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board. This institution has impoverished the people of the United States and has practically bankrupted our government. It has done this through the corrupt practices of the money vultures who control it. A superstate controlled by international bankers and international industrialists acting together to enslave the world for their own pleasure. Louis McFadden, DPA. Most Americans have no real understanding of the operation of the international money lenders. The accounts of the Federal Reserve System have never been audited. It operates outside the control of Congress and manipulates the credit of the United States. Barry Goldwater, RAZ. I have unwittingly ruined my country. W. Wilson, upon passage of Federal Reserve Act, 1913. If one understands that socialism is not a share the wealth program but is in reality a method to consolidate and control the wealth, then the seeming paradox of super-rich men promoting socialism becomes no paradox at all. Instead it becomes logical, even the perfect tool of power-seeking megalomaniacs. Communism, or more accurately socialism, is not a movement of the downtrodden masses but of the economic elite. Gary Allenet, The Great Depression, was not accidental, it was a carefully contrived occurrence. The 23 international bankers sought to bring about a condition of despair here so that they might emerge as rulers of us all. Louis McFadden, the Federal Reserve, definitely caused the Great Depression by contracting the amount of currency in circulation by one-third, from 1929 to 1933. Milton Friedman, there may be a recession in stock prices, but not anything in the nature of a crash. Irving Fisher, leading U.S. economist, New York Times, September 5, 1929. Practices of the unscrupulous money changers stand indicted in the court of public opinion, rejected by the hearts and minds of men. The money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. FDR, who admitted he never read the act which recalled the gold in 1933, history records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling the money and its issuance. James Madison, it is well enough that the people of this nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. Henry Ford, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace in a continual state of alarm, and hence clamorous to be led to safety, by menacing them with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary. H.L. Mencken, what we need to know is the results: unjust taxation, multiplying home costs, increased medical costs, control of energy and resources, control of elections and political principles, and the undermining of every social process by multiplying cost. The central banks, via the IMF/World Bank, have engulfed the world in a mathematically impossible debt-based debt/credit monetary system. 30-some-odd years ago, a high school student loosely formed a concept of mathematically perfected economy. In 1979, he published a mathematical proof that any economy conveyed by a currency subject to interest ultimately terminates itself under insoluble debt. When Albert Einstein was asked what was the most fantastic thing he ever realized in all his studies, he responded, "Compound interest." The Federal Reserve Bank is now in every country in the world. In Canada, it is known as the Bank of Canada. The banksters are diabolical, unethical, ignoble, unconscionable, dishonorable, dastardly tyrants. Not to stoop to name-calling, but it is exigent that you comprehend the insidiousness of their scheme and how it has destroyed every life to some degree or another. They have kept all of us in peonage and most of us in penury. I know not one single soul who is not obsessed to some degree with money or the lack thereof, or at least from the perspective that they are not obsessed. Our lives have become about money and not money, meaning we are never free of it if only of the concept of it. So, the focus of everything we ever learned in history class was immaterial and irrelevant. The facts may be accurate, but as you'll see later, facts are immaterial. All that matters is honor/dishonor, contract and credit/debit. We are entrenched in a game of commerce about which we have been kept in the dark for the purpose of our slavery. There may be a few centuries in the history of the world which were not about commerce, but certainly the past two millennia have been for the purpose of enslaving the masses for the profits and lifestyles of the global elite. It is nearly completely in place. I always suspected the banking system was fraudulent. It was simply a case of noticing the tallest, most lavish buildings in any city were bank buildings. One needn't be particularly astute to see what's happening. When I read Thorin's book, I was elated to discover I was accurate and yet disheartened to realize I was accurate. We are completely dependent on the commercial banks. Someone has to borrow every dollar we have in circulation, cash or credit. If the banks create ample synthetic money, we are prosperous; if not, we starve. We are absolutely without a permanent money system. It is the most important subject intelligent persons can investigate and reflect upon. It is so important that our present civilization may collapse unless it becomes widely understood and the defects remedied very soon. Robert H. Hemphill, Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank 24. So, here is what we have today: a banking system controlled by a handful of private interests, the government with the ability to impoverish and terrorize productive people by controlling their take-home pay and profits, a secret police bureau to track, harass, and occasionally murder dissenters while covering up the crimes of the elite, and a policy of social engineering in which the federal government actively forms public opinion. It is vitally important to understand how those in government turned our lives upside down and made us believe that we are subject under them, when in reality they are subject to us. Approximately the same thing occurred in Canada, only later, which means that when America falls, the provinces will be not far behind. 1865 13th Amendment. People could volunteer into slavery by accepting federal benefits. 1868 The 14th Amendment created a new class of citizen, the person subject to the federal government. 1871 The federal government formed itself into a corporation, USA. I don't know Canada's date of incorporation. 1913 The Federal Reserve central banks were created. 1933 President Roosevelt put into effect the Trading with the Enemies Act. This applied only to federal citizens. 1933 President Roosevelt took the gold away from the people, who were not lawfully required to relinquish it, and who then had no money with which to pay their debts. March 9, 1933 Ownership, legal title, of all property is in the state. Individual ownership is only equitable, user, title. Use must be in accordance with law and subordinate to the necessities of the state. Yikes. Read that again. 1933 President Roosevelt passed H.J.R. 192 June 5, 1933 Since the government had taken the gold, and the people had no money, the government would pay the debts for the people, thereby giving them unlimited credit. Whoever has the gold pays the bills. This legislation states that one cannot demand from you a certain form of currency, since any form and all forms of currency are your credit. If they do, they are in breach of public policy, PL 73-10. Not only does this insurance policy protect the legislators from conviction for fraud and treason, but also it protects the people from damages caused by the feds. 1938 Erie Railroad versus Tompkins made contracts the rule in the courts. No other law prior to 1938 can be cited in cases. 1946 Government and court system was lost through the Administrative Procedures Act. 1965 Silver was removed as a means for paying debt. The Uniform Commercial Code became the supreme law of the land concerning the banking system. The courts were pulled together in admiralty/administrative and civil. Contract/commercial/corporate, law, thereby removing the innocent plea, thereby reversing innocent until proven guilty to guilty until proven innocent. Securities replaced substance as collateral for debts, debt instruments with collateral, and accommodation parties could be used instead of money. The courts could uphold the security instruments which depended upon commercial fictions as a basis for compelling payment or performance. 1966 The Federal Tax Lien Act, the entire taxing and monetary systems are hereby placed under the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, since the declaration of bankruptcy, when our bodies and labor were pledged to pay for it, they stripped us of our title and rights and replaced these with privileges and benefits. We are now slaves/chattel because we have unwittingly entered into adhesion contracts, albeit without full disclosure to the terms and conditions, thereby making them invalid and fraudulent. However, we are still bound to the terms until we undo the damage by rebutting the presumption. Statutes of Commerce The UCC/PPSA and all connected with it Bills of Exchange Act, Conveyance and Law of Property Act, Courts of Justice Act replaced laws for natural beings with statutes for fictional entities. But we cannot play a fictitious game, we need fictitious entities to play. So the government created that game token for us, the strawman, and they tricked us by making the name of the strawman appear to be the name that represents us. This is so we will think that it is we of whom they speak when they say words like person, resident, etc., except that we are not a person or a resident. Person within the game applies to a fictional, non-existent, corporate, artificial, government-created entity, which has nothing to do with us other than the name they gave. It seems as if it is the name we use to represent us. The entity to which the statutes refer and apply is always person or persons. However, we know that this entity is a government-created fiction and does not exist. The Fed/banksters have surreptitiously and carefully put the name of this corporate fiction into uppercase letters to differentiate it from the real, flesh 25 and blood living soul, yet also to con us into believing it is we. This distinction is of paramount importance. Since we know that the corporation is the uppercase name and that statutes apply only to corporations, and we know that statutes always use the word person to describe to whom the statute applies, then we can conclude that person is a corporation and not a living soul. We are not persons. Statutes do not apply to us. Only laws apply to us, yet there is only one law, so it's easy for us to remember. We must not infringe upon the rights, life, liberty, or property of another living soul. If we do, the living soul whom we have injured can file a witnessed, sworn complaint with the court, and a jury will decide if that claim against us is legitimate and deal with us accordingly. What is going on in the courts today is that the strawman, the government-created corporation, is being charged with a crime based upon violation of a statute. This would be okay if we weren't being held as surety for that entity which couldn't possibly have done anything wrong, because it exists only in the minds of those who would confiscate our freedom. We cannot be charged by the state with any crime, because all crimes are commercial. And commerce is an unreal situation in which we cannot involve ourselves, because we are real. Fictions cannot connect with living souls, fictions cannot do anything which requires a meeting of the minds, e.g., contract, or any of the senses of a living soul: hearing, seeing, thinking. Our use of the strawman is to enable us to operate in commerce. It is exigent that we learn how to do this, so that we can begin to win by publicly discharging debt and privately, by serving. We were never meant to operate in commerce. The legal use of words is vastly different from normal English usage, the best example being when then President Bill Clinton said, "That depends on what the definition of is." We all laughed, yet Black's Law Dictionary has 18 different meanings of the word is. Check every document which you think identifies you: birth certificate, driver license, passport, voter registration, utility bills, etc. The name which represents you is nowhere on any of them. As fictitious entities cannot contract with natural beings, a transmitting utility is required for the connection. The strawman is the transmitting utility. So all contracts are between the strawman and the public entity, not between the private living soul and a public entity. Inasmuch as every government is an artificial person, an abstraction, and a creature of the mind only, a government can interface only with other artificial persons. The imaginary, having neither actuality nor substance, is foreclosed from creating and attaining parity with the tangible. The legal manifestations of this are that no government, as well as any law, agency, aspect, court, etc., can concern itself with anything other than corporate, artificial persons and the contracts between them. Anonymous, in reference to U.S. case, Penhallow vs. Doan's Administrators 1795: through the public fool system, the media, and other alleged authorities in our lives, we have been trained to believe that this strawman name, a fictitious name identifiable by its being in uppercase, is our name. It is not. The purpose of the strawman name is to trick us into believing that we are the surety for any obligation/contract involving the strawman. Since the feds created the strawman, they control it, and it is subject to its codes, rules, regulations, statutes, ordinances, bylaws, and legislation. Private entities/sovereigns are not. If we are unaware of this, we can be tricked into being held as surety for debts, liabilities, and obligations of the strawman. If we capture our strawman by recording with the public its name via a financing statement, the one contract in the world which can't be broken, UCC1/PPSA, go to your Secretary of State website/PPSA.ca, in both our birth and domicile states/provinces, we thereby claim it as our debtor. It is no longer subject to the feds. It is now under our control. We can also claim our birth certificate, which is the original title to the strawman, and so discharge and hence release us, the living souls, from any debt, liability, or obligation of the strawman. All these debts exist only on paper, in a digital venue, in computers, in a fictional commercial world. They are not real, although the banksters would have us think so. Now, the property of the living soul is tax exempt and free from any levy. Look at your birth certificate and you'll notice that the registration date, i.e., the birth of the strawman, is about 2 weeks after your alleged birth. You can't be certain of the date of your birth because you do not have first-hand knowledge of it unless you personally documented it the day you were born. Not likely, though, eh? If your mum told you your birth date, it is only hearsay. I tell my younger son that he hasn't a clue of the date he was born, mostly because I had lied to the school about it, and so, in order to promote the ruse, I had to celebrate his birthday on the day I claimed he was born. The poor boy has no idea of his real birth date, and because of this he is safer from the feds. 26. Except for value and return for discharge, settlement, and closure, fictional government can only function in a fictional commercial world, one where there is no real money, only fictional funds, mere entries, figures, digits. All charges are a negative, commercial claim against the strawman, not against us. Only the numbers move from one side of the account to the other, credit and debit. Our resisting these fictitious charges only gets us into trouble, so we accept them and discharge the charge, thereby balancing the account. Accepting the charge also removes the controversy, as I did with MBNA, there is then nothing to adjudicate, so it can't go to court. Accepting for value the charge also allows us to remove the negative claim against the account, thereby becoming the holder in due course of the charge slash presentment slash claim, and can now request that the account be adjusted. As only we have the power to create credit, only we can balance the account. All debt is created on paper, therefore all debt can be discharged with other pieces of paper. Playing the commerce game as opposed to what most think is the legal game allows us to control the movement of figures, digits, and entries into the account for our benefit, as opposed to the benefit of those who would confiscate our labor in the form of cash. Now, no statutes, codes, rules, regulations apply to us, they apply only to the strawman of whom we now have control. So the feds have no jurisdiction over us, as they have not our consent, nor are we within their fictional commercial venue. Those of us who opt to take charge of our commercial affairs become part of the solution instead of remaining part of the problem. In order to get one's liberty and independence back, one must first secure the title and ownership of the strawman. Once one controls the strawman, then one controls the rights of the property that the strawman acquires. For one to regain title to his body, the birth certificate must be secured. After we have redeemed it and filed public notice via a financing statement, then we have the right of property ownership through our strawman whom we now control. The bond created and sold in the marketplace for the strawman now becomes our property. Think of the board game Monopoly registered trademark where you pick up a chance card which reads, "Pay school tax $1.50, so you hand over the $1 to the banker. I think the Parker boys were trying to tell us something. When the government charges the strawman a tax, we, the ostensible players, are held as surety for our token slash strawman and required to pay even though the charge is not directed towards us. It is directed towards our token, the top hat, race car, old shoe. We are paying for the token because our token isn't real and so it can't do anything. We are the energy for the token slash strawman. Since the money also is not real, there could be no real loss to us as natural beings, except that this seems to be all there is. We used to be able to live real life with real money. Now we are playing a game with monopoly money. We have been prevented from living real life, we are caught in a game. This did not come about by our conscious agreement. What if we want to go back to living real life? We'd have to get out of the game. This is tricky because the powers that be are capable of controlling us through confiscating our finances by keeping us in the game. Why would they allow us to opt out of a game which they are sure to win and which we are destined to lose? There is no way to stop playing the game unless we consciously do what it takes in order to extricate ourselves from the game. It is simple but not easy, mostly because the banksters refuse to lose. Also, most of us don't realize we have a choice because most have never considered that we agreed to play a game we can't win. Would anyone consciously choose to play such a game? The UCC is the rules of the game and any entity within that game is corporate, since no living soul can play this game, only straw men. Therefore, the Income Tax Act, being part of the commerce game, applies only to fictitious entities as they are the only entities who can play. Because the name of the game is confiscation of funds, they hold us, who want only to live life as freely as possible and not infringe upon the rights of another, as surety for our strawman's alleged debt. But public policy in the U.S., House Joint Resolution 192 of June 5, 1933, and in Canada, Order in Council No. 16 of April 10, 1933 tells us that as there is no substance with which to pay a debt, then all debt must be discharged. How can we pay a debt when there is nothing with which to pay? We can't, so all we can do is discharge it. Since there is no money, then the only thing left is credit, so we must pay a debt with credit. How is credit created? Via our signature. Every time we sign our name to any promissory note, we have created credit. So, we must have a lot of credit. Are we using it? Or is some public entity using it? Every time we sign our name for any public purpose to any public entity, we are giving away our exemption. What are we getting in return? Example, if you go through a stop sign, it is not you who is charged, it is your strawman, because it is its name on this driver license which you carry around and actually unwittingly use as identification. Also, any citation is directed to the strawman, it does not have your name on it. However, since the strawman doesn't exist, it is you who is held as surety for the fine. Slick game, eh? I hear you saying, but it was I-27 who broke the law by going through the stop sign. What law? Remember, there is no law other than the one which protects the life, liberty, rights, and property of all living souls. So, you didn't break any law, unless of course someone were injured, in which case I trust that, as an honorable soul, you would somehow make restitution. To this end I have posted a bond with the Minister of Transport in the event of an incident in which I might have to compensate another being. I will not pay a federally owned corporation called an insurance agent to protect me. My uncle used to say, protect me from the protectors. The bond is backed by my exemption which is unlimited. Which is better? Slave laboring to pay an insurance premium to an entity which might not cover your transgressions or might cancel your policy on a whim or backing any commercial liability with your own unlimited exemption via a surety bond. I say the latter is safer. Soon we will again become insurance for one another. When the farmer's barn burned down, his neighbors assisted him in rebuilding it, based upon their anticipation of needing assistance themselves from neighboring farmers' good insurance. The banksters infiltrated this workable plan by creating an insurance industry in the same manner they infiltrated the people's trade by creating a debt money system. You now have to use our money/insurance companies instead of relying upon yourselves and your neighbors, but it's going to cost you. Who fell for this? Why would anyone put his trust into a fictional entity when he has trusted his neighbors for decades? I wouldn't. Back to the traffic case. What actually occurred and for which you are being held for the charge against your strawman is that you violated a statute. The statute applies only to fictitious entities, and since a strawman can't do anything, never mind stop at a stop sign, the cop, who might know this, will cause you to believe that it is you who made the transgression. But no statute applies to living souls, any more than go to jail, go directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200 in monopoly registered trademark. Trademark applies to you, it applies to the token race car. Too many of us are in fear. I notice that this fear translates into $. I've asked enough people of all ages if they could have what they want, they generally respond, more money. When people have what they believe to be a problem, they tend to want to fix the effect as opposed to the cause. They talk about getting a second job or getting another member of the family out to work, or borrowing $, in order to make ends meet. Did any of these frantic individuals ever sit down and ask, why don't we have any $? If they did, the answer they came up with is the one with which we are programmed every day, which is, Ken/AMS are spending way beyond their means and going into serious debt. This is utterly false. Most feel guilt, and since they believe they themselves to be the cause of the problem, they do what they can to put a band-aid upon the effect instead of investigating the cause. None of what you have been led to believe about national or personal debt is true. You have been conned by the masterminds of banking. I ask you again to keep in the back of your mind that this is all by design, a brilliant design to confiscate the property, land, cash, assets, and the ostensible intrinsic value of the people of the world, our labor, for the sole purpose of controlling us. Loans, a deposit created through lending, is a debt that has to be paid on demand of the depositor, just the same as the debt arising from a customer's deposit of checks or currency in the bank. Of course, they do not really pay out loans from the money they receive as deposits. If they did this, no additional money would be created. What they do when they make loans is to accept promissory notes in exchange for credits to the borrower's transaction accounts. Federal Reserve Bank, Chicago, Modern Money Mechanics, P6. When you entered into a loan contract with a bank, you signed a note or contract promising to pay back the bank, and you agreed to provide collateral which the bank could seize if you did not repay the loan. This contract supposedly qualified you to receive the bank's money. The bank either sells or hypothecates your promissory note before you sign the final papers relative to the loan. In essence, the bank is receiving the proceeds of the sale or hypothecation of your note before it purchases or accepts your note as a loan to itself. Banks are prohibited from lending their own money from their own assets, or from other depositors. So from where did the dollar come? The contract we signed, our promissory note, was converted into a negotiable instrument by the bank and became an asset on the bank's accounting books. According to the UCC 1-201, 24, and 3-104, it was our signature on the note which made it dollar. 28. Our promissory note, money, was taken, recorded as an asset of the bank, and sold by the bank for cash without equal valuable consideration given to us for our note. The bank gave us a deposit slip as a receipt for the money we gave them, just as the bank would normally provide when we make a deposit to the bank. It then created an account at the bank which would contain this dollar which we just created. A check on this account was issued with our signature, and this account is the source of funds behind the check which we received as a loan. The bank risked none of its own assets in the so-called loan to us, rather it used our note to pay the seller, in order to raise an asset for itself, and also used the face value of our note as principal which it claims it lent us and against which it charged interest. Consideration on the part of the bank is non-existent, so the bank has nothing to lose. It cannot possibly sustain a loss. Since consideration is essential to an enforceable contract and the note was obtained from us via fraud, the entire transaction/contract is fraudulent. In the Ashley case of 1988, fraud on the part of the bank was proven because the defendant revealed, "The banks told me they had money to lend and they didn't." Mortgage contracts are written in such a way to appear as if the bank lent us funds before they received our promissory note/mortgage contracts, so that the bank can use it as a receipt which they can sell. The contract reads, "For a loan I have received, but you haven't received it yet." So in fact, we signed and gave the mortgage contract/note to the bank prior to their giving us the funds. So, the application for the loan created the funds, it has our signature on it, and the note, with our signature, covered the funds to repay the loan. Again, constructive fraud. My son's father obtained a loan in 1972 in the amount of $46,000 USD to purchase a house. Since he continues to be the principal on the note, and since the note continues to earn interest, including the fact that he repaid the loan, his equity is now worth over $5 million USD. We are, as I write, in the process of lending said equity back to the banks for a rental fee of 3%, 8%, minimum $150,000 a year. If you continue to pay the bank that which it never lent you, you'll now be paying me. Maybe this will make you feel a bit better about it. Fraudulent national debt wars are major debt creators, which is what the banksters want, as much debt as possible in order to collect more interest. In Canada, the income tax was implemented in 1917 as a temporary measure to pay for WW1. This is the true purpose of war, and yet the people bought the ruse of either humanitarianism or worse, making the world safe for democracy, which is the most frightful system of government. All the players are manipulated by the banksters. They play both sides. The reason the banksters want democracy is because that is the only form of government which they can manipulate and control under law merchants. Every democracy the world has known ends in an economic downward spiral. Don't get me wrong about tyrannical dictatorships or archaic monarchies, however, when a regime is forced to change to a democracy it dies economically. Trust me, the PTB do not want democracy for our benefit, it is for theirs. Democracy is indispensable to socialism. V.I. Lenin socialism leads to communism. Karl Marx since we use debt notes to purchase, which denotes having only equitable title, by denotes having legal title, then all we're doing is passing along the debt and increasing the interest with each transaction. This is precisely the agenda of the banksters. This is the classic the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It is they who get the taxes and it is we who get the notes which we are trying to spend before they become completely devalued. Whenever anyone is offered the package deal, which is so common these days, thanks to layoffs and downsizing, not to mention outsourcing, they take the money and run. Good strategy. Do not continue working, do not look back. Get out while you can and get doing something worth your time and energy. I suspect that when one is laid off, it is not because the company can no longer afford to pay you your salary, it is because of their cost of your benefits. Remember that benefits are already ours, because everything we could ever need or want is prepaid, but we have been led to believe that said benefits are privileges, not rights, and therefore, we are slave laboring for them. Our labor is offset by our paycheck which we fund via our signature/exemption, yet it is the so-called benefits which the corporations can no longer afford because it is a real cost to them. Why do you suppose the package deal layoffs are so attractive? It is because you are funding them via your exemption to which the corporation has access long after you are gone because they still have your SSN/SIN. If you are ever told you are being 29 laid off, try suggesting that you will work for salary only, no benefits. I don't really think this will change their tune, only because you are a drop in the bucket, however, you might see their eyes go for a swim, presuming they are onto the scam, which, let's face it, anyone who works in human resources is not privy to this scam or they wouldn't be wasting their days in HR, I like to think. The Federal Reserve Bank is privately owned by several private investors, global elitists. Their purpose is to manipulate financially the transfer of ostensibly privately owned property back to themselves. Federal Reserve funds are not backed by any substance, yet, based upon bookkeeping entries, the currency can be moved thereby making the people slaves to this system. Their true income from this unlawful debt money system is the interest from fictional loans. The surest way to overthrow an existing social order is to debauch the currency. Lenin, there are two methods, or means, and only two, whereby man's needs and desires can be satisfied. One is the production and exchange of wealth, this is the economic means. The other is the uncompensated appropriation of wealth produced by others, this is the political means. Albert J. Nock in 1990, I read the Truth in Money book by Theodore R. Thorin, who claims that the national debt is an illusion because the interest on the debt created by this debt money system under which we slave is unpayable, it simply accumulates endlessly. In order to force this system upon the people, the feds permitted the banksters to steal the gold of the people as payment of interest on the bankruptcy and make it illegal for the people to own gold. Howard Freeman said this about the gold standard. We are now permitted to own gold again only because the intention is to force the kin/m people onto a strict gold standard while we have no gold which will permit this system to operate even marginally. Forcing us onto a gold standard, under the guise of our proven inability to manage debt, will complete the destruction of the middle class and finish our subjection to the international bankers and the UN. But sovereigns can never be in debt. We fix the price of gold and silver to make them valuable or not. J.P. Morgan, in a letter to his son, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare statists' tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the hidden confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. Alan Greenspan, Gold and Economic Freedom. Since all the government-educated financial advisors suggest buying gold in order to survive the coming depression, I suggest that if you think precious metals will save your life, then buy silver. The banksters first bought all the politicians. Next, they bought all the major media to promote the illusion that politicians represent our interests. Then they took control of the education system, ensuring kids stop thinking at an early age. The Office of Homeland Security is designed to control us in order to confiscate our funds for the purpose of paying the alleged debt of trillions of dollars. It's only a matter of time before we will have no more cash, no pensions, no government benefits. If we resist, there is an Orwellian police state and military police to ensure it. Author unknown. The media